you're also not just investing in the student housing facility, you're also investing in the institution that supports it. So that's a big part. And if you do that right, that's one of the big pros to investing in student housing, is that pretty much you're going to have guaranteed tenant base to draw from, right? Because that institution's not going anywhere.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. Welcome back for another Multifamily Monday episode. We got another solo one where I'm going to dive into an investing strategy. But before I get into that, I just want to thank you all. I know I've been talking about how I had a goal to originally get up to 100 ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts by the end of this year. And then I realized how awesome you all are and how quickly that number has been rising, and decided to change it to June. So halfway point through the year, 6 months in, and just realized I might have to change that again because we're already at 64 ratings. So you all are awesome and killing it for me. So I greatly appreciate that. And again, for any of you who have not left a rating or review that listen on Apple Podcasts, I'd really appreciate it if you would, especially if you're getting value out of this and you like the podcast. I'm just going to read a recent review that was left by Katniss2107. Great show with insight from great people and how to build wealth and achieve financial freedom. Well, thank you so much, because that's what we're all here for, is achieving financial freedom. And to me, it's one of the most important things that anyone can do for themselves and their family and those they care about. Because with financial freedom comes time freedom. And with time, you can do a lot of great things for yourself, your family, and those in your community you care about. So as always, every Monday, we jump into a real estate investing strategy, generally multifamily, because that's what I specialize in. So big apartment complexes. And then every Friday is a Finance Friday episode where we jump into financial strategies, tips, tricks on how to get your money working for you. As we all know, it's not what you make, but what you keep. So we jump into that every Friday. Today, we're going to talk about a different segment of the multifamily asset class, and that is student housing. So housing that is purposely built for students that attend colleges and universities across the country. And I feel like this gets a lot of heat from some circles just because of who you're, you know, renting to, students. And you know, from a certain aspect, there's good cause, right? I was a student and I saw how people treated, or students treated, their housing. Those come from the mentality of, I don't own it, I'm just here to have fun. And I've seen plenty of fists through ceilings, chairs through sheetrock, people through sheetrock, which would make you be very hesitant to invest in something like this with all the damage and the repairs and maintenance you're going to have to put into an asset like this. So I totally get that. And there's obviously risk, parties are being thrown. But the segment of student housing that I'll be talking to today is not that, right? That's like your single family home, your duplexes, your triplexes, or where I went to school in Boston, you'd call it two family, three family. That's not what we're talking about. Personally, I wouldn't want to be in that. I know they can generate good cash flow because you've got that student base and you're probably getting a higher rent than you would from the general market in that area, just because where you're pulling from, the university or the college. But to me, that's just too much of a headache. Not only are you going to have to put a lot of money in to repair the property, but you're also going to have to deal with a lot of noise complaints and that type of thing. So what I'm talking about today is a student housing complex. So it's essentially just an apartment complex, but for students. We recently acquired, our latest acquisition was a 168 unit, 474 bed student housing facility. This was in Radford, Virginia for Radford University. And so this is like an apartment complex for students. It's got a clubhouse that has a gaming room, a study lounge. It's got a pool, fitness center. So it's a student housing facility with a bunch of awesome amenities for the students. And this is going to be a rock solid investment for us. We got this off market. It was through a broker relation, but it was as off market as it can be when you're dealing with a broker. You know, he didn't put it under contract with his firm. He just had the relation with the seller. So we were able to acquire it. Yes, we pay him a fee, but there was no competition to take this down. We were actually able to get it for $18 million when it was recently appraised by CBRE for $23 million. So we already have $5 million equity just baked in there. If we wanted, we could just go and sell it on market today, tomorrow, and make that $5 million gain. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to operate a facility like this, put in CapEx of about $1.6 million, update the property, make it a better place for the students. Not that it's not right now, but an even better place. And then eventually, once 5-7 years, we'll go around and then potentially sell it or refinance and keep it for the long term. It's a rock solid property, 2007 build. We're always looking for the newer builds in the student just because there generally is a little more wear and tear because they're students. Obviously not to the level of like the single family homes, the duplex, the triplexes that will see way more wear and tear. This is less because they're not throwing parties because you always have one. You have 24/7 staff, so that would be squashed immediately. But yeah, we're really excited about this one. Awesome cash flow is amazingly right out of the gate. It's going to be a great investment for our investors, and we're really excited to jump into that. But this episode is not specifically about that asset. I just want to get into the pros and cons. And is this something you should be investing? Because it does get a lot of heat. And obviously, recently through the health crisis with students remote learning, I just want to go over all the pros and cons of investing in this asset class. All right. Well, I guess I'll start with some of the cons. Let's get the bad right out of the gate, right? So the first is, which I've already alluded to, is you're renting to students. There's a lot of wear and tear. They're in the age group where they're partying a lot. That's a big aspect of a lot of college students' experience. And that's a very valid point. But again, we're investing in a complex that has on-site staff. So think of it as like actual housing. Remember your RAs, but if you went to college, you had RAs that for your housing that was owned by the college or university. We have on-site staff that's there 24/7. Generally, at least one of the staff actually lives there full-time usually. And yeah, so there's not going to be any large party or anything going on like that. It's not going to be noises late into the night for the most part, no massive parties. So the repairs and maintenance is going to be a lot lower than if you were to rent out a single family or a small multi to a student. And then there's also the aspect, is it furnished, right? So some student housing facilities like this do come furnished. The one we just bought is furnished. And so that's something you got to be cognizant when you're underwriting, is you want to increase your repairs and maintenance if you do furnish, because more often than not, you're going to have to replace some of that stuff because wear and tear, obviously it's not theirs. So they're not going to take care of it as appropriately as they should, especially that it's not theirs. But the benefit of the furniture, we'll get into a later pro of the property. So that's definitely one of the big cons, right? You're renting to students. Are they going to take care of it? A lot of wear and tear, noise complaints. But again, this is managed by on-site staff. Now, another con comes from lending. Not everyone likes to lend to student housing. It's just because it's fully supported by students and not the general market. But this is also a pro. And when it comes to the lending part, you just have to have really good relations with lenders. And it also comes down to where you're investing. If you're investing in some school that's D2, D3, not well known in the middle of nowhere, it's going to be harder to get lending, right? Because it's not a major institution. Whereas if you're to invest into a D1 school that's been around for a long time, that has many degrees, both undergrad, grad, all the way up, has sports teams, that's a more solid institution that has a lot deeper roots into that the institution, the organization, and the surrounding area. So they like to lend on that type of thing. So for instance, our student housing deal in Radford, Virginia, that's a D1 school with 10,000 students. It has over 40 different degrees you can get there and has solid D1 athletics. This is an institution, this is a student housing facility that lenders like to lend on because it's high quality. So if you had student housing for, say, in Ohio State, they would love that. That's a big, big school versus some small school in the middle of nowhere. So that can be a con. And another con is the annual turnover, right? So all about leasing up, right? This is huge in student housing, whereas in traditional multifamily, it's kind of an ongoing thing, right? You might have a lease that started in August for one tenant, and then you have a few leases that maybe started in October, and then some more maybe started in May. Right? It's just spread out throughout the year. So you're constantly, and in a bigger apartment complex, you have leases that start in every month and end in every month. So you're constantly either renewing or turning over, right? So it's not just like in one month where it's like, oh man, if I don't renew any of these or get new tenants, I'm going to be down to zero occupancy, 100% vacancy. Technically, that could happen in student. And that's what one of the cons is, that you have to lease up based on the school curriculum. So 100% of your leases are on the same time frame. And so if that school starts in August or September, that's when the lease is going to start. And so that can be very daunting if you're not experienced. You have to start your lease up for the following year way ahead of time. It's not like you're asking your tenant 30, 60 days out if they're going to stay. No, you're starting like sometimes even 12 months, but usually the where you're really making the push is like 6 to 8 months out is where you're starting to lease up. And that's a big thing. If you ever get into the student housing industry, that's a big thing you will hear is lease up. What's your lease up for the next year? What's even your lease up for the year after that? And that is a big risk because you only have one shot to do it. And whatever you lease up to, that's going to carry you for that entire school year. Yes, you may be able to pick up a student here or there that maybe transfers to that school or what have you, or moves from a different housing there. But generally, that's one shot. Whatever you get from that lease up is what you're going to have for the rest of the year. So that is a big con. But if you're good at it, you have your systems and processes in place, it's something you shouldn't really worry about. And the flip side to it, there's a con to it, right? Because if you do a good job with your lease up, then you're set for that year, right? And then another con based off of that is summer vacancies. So that means school only goes from, let's say, September to May, August to May, whatever it happens to be. And then the remaining months, there's no school, right? Some kids stay, but some kids go either back home or they have an internship in another state or city. Well, that is a con, right? Because then you got to find sublets. Well, for us, we don't do that. All of our leases are 12 months. We never sign like an 8-9 month lease. It's always 12 months. So it's up to the tenant, to the student, to either find a subletter or they just have to cover it if they leave. So for us, that's not a con because we do 12 month leases. And then, so those are kind of biggest cons. And then you have inexperienced, they're first time renters. Maybe they're not good at taking care of the place, or their communication isn't great, or they're not good neighbors, inexperienced with finances. But to me, these are very small cons, because in a complex like this, we have staff to help them with the inexperience of being a renter, same with the finance part. And then one of the cons that I'll go over is actually relates to finances and why, to me, that's not really a big deal. All right. Well, I guess now at this point, let's jump into what I think are the pros of student housing or investing in student housing. So one, it's based off, you're providing housing for students. That's based off institution. If you invest in the right place, this is an institution that has deep roots into the surrounding community. And it's most likely not going to go anywhere, right? Some huge catastrophic event would have to occur for a solid institution like Harvard and MIT to go anywhere, right? It's really based off on, you're also not just investing in the student housing facility, you're also investing in the institution that supports it. So that's a big part. And if you do that right, that's one of the big pros to investing in student housing, is that pretty much you're going to have guaranteed tenant base to draw from, right? Because that institution's not going anywhere. Obviously, a con I didn't mention is building, if they continue to build housing. But again, if you do it right, you buy a property that is very close to the heart of the school. We try to be one of the closest, if not the closest. Like on our last deal in Radford, it's the closest off-campus student housing to the campus. There's nothing else closer, and we're surrounded by other developments. So nothing can be developed around us that would put them closer. Now, can there be other developments surrounding us that are not closer? Yeah, of course. So that is a risk, but that just comes down to how you operate your property and how you maintain it. Your students are going to want to live in a place that's high quality, offers great amenities and great service. So that's what we strive for to do to combat that con. But to me, the biggest, that pro is that institution is supporting you, which creates high demand, right? Students, if they like an area, it's one of those things like they want to go where everyone else is going. So if you provide housing that people love, they're going to want to get in there, and there's going to be a lot of demand to get in there. And then obviously it's kind of like a turnkey, right? Obviously we come in and still do value add, but it's turnkey in the sense of like a lot of the ones we invest in have, you know, furniture. So it's literally just coming in and cleaning it up, maybe probably doing some repairs, then it's just ready to go. So it makes it really easy. Recession proof. So I hate to say, it's definitely not recession. I wouldn't say proof, right? Because to me, that's too strong for any type of investment, right? I think it's more recession resilient. Obviously, anything can happen and there can be drawback from people going to school. But I was in college. I started in 2008, right before the crash, right? So in my first year of college, 2008 financial crash occurred. And we obviously knew it was going on, but we didn't really feel it, probably like others, especially those who were already in the workforce, our parents, and so on, because you're just kind of in a bubble when you're in college, right? So nothing really changed for me. And there's never, fortunate enough, where there's never really a conversation of, do I need to rethink? Should I not be going right now? Come back. That was never really a thing. And I can't even recall any of my friends, even my friends that weren't in amazing financial situations, they were taking loans to go there. And they never once thought, should I not be doing this? So to me, there is some recession resilience there. And yes, we just had the health crisis. And again, it goes back to the institution you're investing in, right? When it happened to us, we still had several months left, right? So we still had leases, happened in March. You still had about 4 or 5 months to go, right? Those leases were still signed, so they were still paying. And it all just came to the next year, which universities and colleges were still in-class learning versus totally remote. And there was even hybrid where online, but they were still there. And so for us, we were lucky that the student housing we owned was the latter, that yeah, they weren't really going to classes, but they were still on campus. And so people did lease back up. Now, it wasn't as strong as the year before. There are some students who probably decided to take a year off and come back. But now we're back up full to where we were before. So to me, it's real, like even a health crisis like that can take you down. Now, were there some students housing in some universities that really hurt? Yes, of course. Of course. For the most part, it was still pretty solid. And so to me, this is a great aspect of it because you have the institution that's backing you. Historically, people have still gone to school no matter what, because it's, whether you agree with it or not, it's a staple of our society. And I would argue that maybe it shouldn't be, but it is currently. So people are going to school and that demand has not slowed down, even with prices going up crazy. I remember one of my first business classes in college, my first finance class, we did a simple we're learning time value of money, right? And we did a simple future value calculation. And what it was is based on the current growth rate of, it was an average of inflation of student housing, or excuse me, university tuition, right? Increases over time. So we, based on that, we did a calculation of what it would cost to send our kids to school based on our age and if we had kids at a certain age. So it was $150,000 a year it came out to be, which is insane. So yeah, there needs to be something to kind of slow down that growth, because that's just crazy and that you should never have to pay that type of money. You shouldn't even be paying what people are paying today. To me, you come out with like $100,000 in debt and you're making like $40,000. To me, that's like a death sentence. But anyways, I digress. Back onto the pros of student housing. One of the big ones to me is the financial aspect to it, right? So one of the cons I was mentioning is, you know, there's students generally don't have like that financial experience, right? How to manage money. Well, to me, the pro about it is that most students have either worked very hard to save up money and they're prepared to put themselves through this, or more often than not, their parents are co-signing on the lease for the student housing facility. So you know it's going to get paid either because parents have saved up for this, or that simply just because the parents do well enough where they can afford that. So you know, more often than not, it's going to be paid. And that goes to another con, is delinquencies and bad debt are usually very low in student housing. And that's because of what I just said. It's usually co-signed by a parent, either the parent or the student, or both have been planning for this child, student, to go to school for a very long time. So they've planned accordingly and saved up enough. So those are kind of two of the big pros, right? Because especially time where we are, where there's eviction, you know, moratorium, where there had been eviction moratoriums in multifamily, this wasn't necessarily the case in student. You know, people were still paying because they had, you know, planned accordingly and saved up money for their child to go to college, to university. So I love that aspect of it. And then another con is generally students are more long-term than your traditional renter, just because you're there for 4 years. You know, the first year you might do an campus housing, and then usually somewhere between your sophomore and junior year, you go off campus. And generally, if what I've experienced both personally from going to school and also from investing in student is that once they make the move off campus, they generally stay at that one place for the rest of the time, especially if it's a place that has amazing amenities, great service, they're not going to want to move, especially if their friends stay there too. They're all going to want to stay. And then usually they move up into like bigger unit or a recently remodeled unit. So yeah, it's a stickier tenant. They stay for 2 to 3 years. And so there's less turnover, which we love, right? Turnover can kill you. Even if you're at high occupancy and you have a lot of turnover, that can really hurt your investment. So that's one thing we love about student. There's also international students, right? So you're not only pulling from the US, but you're pulling from other countries, which is big benefit of student. You don't really see that in multi, right? If people are coming abroad, not as a high frequency for just living and working, but for coming to college, America is really well known for their colleges and universities, and people abroad will come. So you have a bigger tenant base to pull from, which increases the demand. And then from the structures themselves, generally, so we invest in, at one point is 2000 built or newer, and now it's more about 2007 to 2010 or newer. And so these are really rock solid properties. So the repair and maintenance drops from that aspect of just upkeeping the infrastructure in the building. Yes, it'll increase a little bit for wear and tear of students, but some of the bigger price items, it's not as high because it's a newer build. And generally, they are built a little sturdier construction because one, they're newer, different codes to build for student. So they tend to be higher quality construction materials, which we love. And then price appreciation, it's solid, especially if you, like I keep hitting on this, if you invest in the right market and the right institution that supports it, there'll be great price appreciation because there's other investors who love students for all the pros I just explained. And generally there's from an acquisition, this is a little off topic, from an acquisition standpoint, there's generally less competition because there's way more people in traditional multifamily investing than student housing. It's just the way it is. And so it makes it great for acquiring, you know, there's competition, but there still is great price appreciation. And that's because of the returns you get. This is one of the, I probably should have led with this pro, but think of it as like, I've talked about this house hacking. If you house hack just a duplex versus house hack a single family, your return on the single family is generally more because it's a little more uncomfortable, right? Because you're leasing out the beds instead of by units. So you can get more because you're leasing per bed. This is the same thing. So the reason why I mentioned beds when I talked about our recent acquisition, so that's 168 unit, 574 or 474 beds, because you rent by the beds, not the unit. There's 158 units, but there's 474 beds. And that's what we charge. We don't charge on the unit, you charge on the bed. So your returns are a lot more and they tend to cash flow a lot stronger because again, you're renting on the bed. So if you have a four unit and you're, say you're charging $1,000, that's $4,000 for the four bed. And now if probably in the market, you'd only get like three, if it was just a regular single family home with four beds, maybe even less. It all depends on the market. And so it's just really strong returns and it's heavy cash flow because you're renting based on the bed. And you can maintain those rents. Like when I went to school, there were every year, and this was in the middle of the 2008 financial crisis, every year my rents went up more than 3% generally. So at least maintain rents, if not increase rents over time. And then from a management perspective, our management company, they actually focus on student. They're really good at it. Really good system process in place. And generally, you have more staff than on property than you would for a traditional multi just because there's different needs that are there for students versus traditional multi. They're students. You know, sometimes they need a little more help and watchful eye over them. So yeah, those are the main pros of students and why we love it. So if I had top pros, obviously their parents generally co-sign the loan. It's guaranteed money as it guaranteed can be, which leads to little to no delinquencies and bad debt. If you invest properly, there's a huge demand both from US students and international students because of the institution they're coming to. And then high returns just because you're renting based on the bed, not the unit. So you generally have 3 to 4 students in a unit. And that just skyrockets your returns, really strong cash flow. So to me, in conclusion, student housing is a phenomenal investment if done properly. If you are thinking about getting into student housing, I would highly recommend either finding a mentor or partnering with someone who's done student before, because even though it's similar to multi, there are a few nuances that can really change how the property operates if you don't know them and you've never had experience dealing with them. But it's a solid investment that's backed, if you do it right, backed by a solid institution that it should have deep roots in the community that's not going to go anywhere. So we love student. We're going to continue to invest in student. And it's a good way to diversify too. We'll continue to invest in both multi and student. And it's diversification within the asset class. Because yeah, it is multifamily, but it's a different segment of multifamily. And it's great diversification because it's more resistant than traditional multifamily. And we think it's a great place to be. Obviously, there's less of it than traditional multifamily. So that's why we like the diversification of it, have both multi and student. Well, I hope you guys got some value out of this. Again, we love student. We're going to continue to invest in student. Thanks for tuning in. And if you ever have any questions, you guys know how to find me, Instagram at Sean Owens and on LinkedIn. And if you found any value out of this and you have not left a rating or review, I would appreciate that. All right, everybody. We'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.